Hey, hello everybody. Rick Buter here. Thanks for tuning into my podcast. It's been a while since I've done podcasts, but it seems like the right thing to be doing right now. There is a lot to be talking about. People have a lot of questions about money. People have a lot of questions about the future of this country. People have a lot of questions about a lot of things these days. So we're going to focus in on how I see things today. We're going to focus in on some of the news in these podcasts and hopefully share some information that you can use to make decisions to feel more confident about where you want your financial future to go. And, you know, when it comes down to money, I always tell people it's not to look at necessarily rates of return or look at different strategies. I also think it's important to look at what you want to attract into your life. You know, for many people, they don't want the drama of Wall Street and the next market correction or crash or whatever it's going to be. Many people don't want the 25-page statements that come from the brokerage firms that take a forensic financial person to discern exactly what's happened. And if you're one of these people that gets these, you probably know what I'm talking about. You know, so when you think about money and you think about what you want, think about what you want to attract into your life as well, not only today, but in the future, the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And when you know what you want to attract into your life, when you know what kind of attributes you want to have in the future, then you know what to do. And that's where people need to begin. As I look at money today and everything about money, it's completely backwards. For example, with our 401k system, we not have 90% or more of our savings in a place where we can't access it. And the problem with today's 401k, one of the probably hundreds of problems, is that people end up tying up their savings in a place where they give up the use, liquidity, control of their money for the rest of their life. And yes, you can create a retirement income and a pension and so forth down the line. If you have some kind of a guarantee that supports that, that's a completely different podcast conversation. But the issue is that we end up becoming dependent then on having to borrow from the banks when all of our money is sitting in an IRA, and we maybe even be borrowing some of our own money. So that's one problem that I see of hundreds, is that we have things backwards. So what we need to be thinking about is we need to think about money from the standpoint of, what do we want to attract into our life? What do we want to have for ourselves the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? If we're 70 going on 80, how do we want to protect what we have so we don't lose it? And when that day comes, when we move on to the next life, how do we protect that from the government? How do we build a wall around everything that we have when we die? Because certainly there's going to be more and more pressure as we move forward in time for the government to raise revenue, irregardless of what anybody says in the news and what you hear from politicians. My advice to everyone, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, is do not trust any politician. They are not working for the people. They are working for corporate interests and other interests. Could even be foreign governments. Who knows? That's how I would approach things when it comes to money, because they're desperate in Washington today. Here's how I see this. I mean, they are so desperate in Washington, but yet they can't agree on anything. There's no money for Medicare, for Social Security. In 17 years, Social Security will be broke. They cannot come together on health care, and they've had two, three chances to do it. And the problem is it's all about the money. Everything that comes down in Washington today is all about the money. Forget about the principles of freedom. Those were gone long ago. This is all about protecting the money, the corporate interest, the corporate cartel. And today, the interests are financial. It's the protection of the banks, protection of Wall Street. These are the people who have the money and are spending, you know, ungodly amounts of millions of dollars lobbying politicians to take control of American savings. I mean, for example, here's a good example. I wrote about this in my first book, The Great Wall Street Retirement Scam. One of the questions I had was why are the 401k limits so much higher than the IRA limits? And the answer is quite simple. Wall Street wants to control money at the paycheck level. There are numerous other examples of Wall Street's influence in our tax code that we can talk about, and we will talk about that in future podcasts. But right now, we have a government in gridlock, and the fight is not about us. It is not about the freedom that goes back to the origin of the founders of this country. That's not what they're fighting over. They are fighting over money, and it's basically the transfer of money from those who have to those who do not have. And I really see this as three classes in America. You have the class that has absolutely nothing. You have the middle class, and that's everybody who, you know, is not really a multimillionaire to billionaire. And then you have the upper tier, which is the people that it really doesn't bother too much because most of them are out of the tax system. They have most of their money in places where they don't pay taxes on it. Maybe they paid taxes once, like say an example might be somebody who owned a company, had a stock offering, became billionaire, paid their taxes once, and they've taken all the money and they've moved it out of the tax system. So what's happening, it's the people in the middle. It's the working class. It's the 90% that are working. Actually, it's less than that because you have this lower end. So you probably have 20% of the people that don't have anything in America. And then you have the middle, which is another 75% to almost 80. And then you have that sliver at the top that are the billionaires. So it's everybody in the middle. It's you, I. Everybody who's working, everybody who has worked and retired, that's where the squeeze is going to come. And what scares me is the fact that they can't agree on things in Washington. And they're not fighting for real freedom. They're fighting over money. And that's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And no matter what any politician says, taxes are going to go up. So we have that ahead of us, and we'll talk more about that in future podcasts as that goes on, as it's current news. Another thing that's current news right now, too, that really nobody's really hearing a lot about, but it's sweeping the country right now, and that is 401k lawsuits. There have been a couple dozen, at least probably, 401k lawsuits, 403b lawsuits. These are your retirement plans that people have. If you work for a company, if you work for a nonprofit organization, they're all over the place. People have been getting scammed in their 401ks and their 403b plans for decades with the overpayment of excessive fees. And if you start to Google this and you look this up, you can see the names of these companies who've been involved. And it's going on. Now, it's not just in 401ks and 403bs. There are massive other scams that are going on in retirement savings plans today that we are going to be talking about as we move forward in time. But what's happened is because nobody's feet have been put to the fire on this, meaning really, you know, attorneys out there that have seen some opportunity to hold those fees in check. And that's only happened till recently. In fact, I had an attorney once tell me he got a hold of my book, The Great Wall Street Retirement Scam, and actually quoted some of the sections on that regarding how these accounts were unsuitable for people's retirement savings. You know, and that's one question I have together. I mean, I personally think there could be a huge lawsuit someday when people see some of this stuff, and the lawsuit is basically class action against everybody involved in the 401k, and that's an unsuitable investment for retirement. And quite simply, and they're being marketed as a retirement plan. Now, people have to save for retirement. Don't get me wrong here. But my argument is how can we have a plan that we call a retirement plan where after 40 years of saving, there's no assurance or guarantee of a pension? I mean, that just boggles my mind. But it's been like that since, well, I guess 1974 when they started the IRA. Then 1980, the 401k came along. And what we did is we moved away from these defined benefit plans where we knew what the benefit's going to be. We knew exactly what our pension was going to be. And the reason we moved away and that they continue to move away from these is they've become very costly and very litigious for companies today. We have this new rule out there that's rolling around. Who knows where it's going to end up, but it's called the fiduciary rule. Companies don't want the liability and they don't want the costs. So what they've done is they've been shifting the responsibility for saving to retirement, for retirement, to the worker. But what that's done is put all the risk of having a secure pension benefit in the hands of the worker. And we found out, of course, in the last decade what a disaster that's been. So right now, everybody, you know, is looking around at the stock market, starting to feel good. We've had this tremendous rise since the crash back in, I think the bottom was March 2008. And we've seen this tremendous rise in the S&P and all the markets since then. Of course, you know, the fact that interest rates were near zero and that anybody on Wall Street could go borrow money from nothing and buy a stock that yielded 3 or 4%, I mean, that's a 400% return. You know, and by the way, they could borrow it without taking any risk because that's the way that they do it. That's the way that banks work. They borrow from the Federal Reserve for near nothing, and they don't even use their own money. And then they loan it out at 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 times what it cost them to do it. That's a great conversion ratio. You know, if you can invest a dollar and make $7 every day, you might get rich. Well, in fact, that's what the banks do. Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast too. It'd be fun to get some great experts to bring in and talk about that. We know a few people and we'll get to that down the line. So, yeah, we've got these 401k lawsuits rolling around. The truth is going to come out on that. Another area of great concern that I see that really there's not tremendous focus, but the government doesn't want people to know. And that's in the area of estate planning for IRAs. You save all this money up. The average American who has saved has 90% or more of their life savings in their individual retirement account or 401k. And when they die, that all becomes taxable to the next generation, basically. And there's very little education or knowledge or understanding. And in our research, we've called the companies and asked them what's going on with these. and how are these settled? In our research, we found out, we surveyed three major firms, and in our research, we discovered that 9 out of 10 of these accounts are closed out when somebody dies. And so why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. Some people could say because they needed the money. That may be one reason, but I really think we do a very poor job in this country of estate planning. I think even the Native Americans did a better job of estate planning when you think about it. I mean, they'd all get together, sit by the campfire at night, listen to the stories of the elders, you know, tell the young ones how they got through life. And that was their wealth. Their wealth was their knowledge, because that's all they had. And so they passed that on through the generations. Well, we don't have a process where we do that. You know, we're not having campfires at night with the three generations where we're all sitting around together. Everybody's in different places. So the real problem is there's a disconnect today between the knowledge of money and the money itself. And I see that as a serious problem, because the younger generations just do not understand. They do not understand government. They do not understand money. They do not understand credit. They do not understand the motivation of the banks. And that's why we have umpteen $1 trillion in student debt. No disrespect. People need college educations. But the education and system, the upper education, and even lower, well, that's a different category, but the upper education system in this country is harvesting, it's financial harvesting off our children. That's how I see it. And you have these for-profit online schools that were formed by Wall Street right after the crash, because they then got out of mortgages and decided to get into for-profit colleges. And they were able to offer these students loans to go to college. And of course, the government went along with all this because there were no jobs back then. So when there's no jobs, you need to get the kids in school. Otherwise, you're going to have massive riots. You got to get them doing something. So the for-profit colleges and regular colleges have put our children deep in debt. Financial harvesting, I call it. And you have that problem sitting out there. And they have these government loans that they don't go away. I mean, the government loan, you can't declare bankruptcy with a government loan. It doesn't go away. So that's a very serious problem that's really not on the surface of things. And then finally, you know, we have people today, Americans that are moving into retirement, and we have the annuities that are being purchased, and we're going to have some challenges with insurance companies, some of them, as we push forward in time. There are annuities out there that I believe that are just scamming the heck out of people, and they just don't realize it. So we'll talk more about that in future shows. I'll let you in on how I see that and share that information. And then the last thing, you know, I've really been looking at is where the markets are today. And, you know, nobody knows where the market is going to be tomorrow. Nobody knows, you know, when the next correction, when the next crash is going to come. But I think everybody feels something. I think everybody who went through the 2008 event feels like they're sitting on pins and needles. Well, the way I see it, probably at this point, everybody and anybody who has any money in the market is probably sitting with their finger on the trigger right now. And what event is going to cause that market to take the next dive? Nobody knows. But you can use your imagination. and a failure of using an your imagination is what caused a lot of these things to happen. There's a book out, I think the name of the book is called Failures of Imagination. And I have that book, and we're going to get that author on. I just can't remember the name right now, but that's a great book. Lots of things in there. But who would have ever imagined people would fly planes into, you know, buildings in 9/11? Who would have ever imagined that Wall Street would invent a financial product that would basically take down the global financial system? But if you can imagine things, then it's possible that they can happen. We could have a computer hack of unbelievable proportion. We could have, you know, something political happen around the world that could cause the next market meltdown. It's just use your imagination. Those things are out there. And so as we push forward in time, it all comes down to what you want to attract into your life. And from there, you make all your financial decisions. And that's how you find peace with all this. That's how you find clarity. You seek out knowledge. You seek out information. And then you put it all together and you say, what do I want to have in my life? And instead of doing it backwards and chasing returns and chasing strategies, you begin with what's important to you. You begin with where you want to see yourself 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years from now, and your family as well. So that's how I'll end this podcast today. So get on my list. If you haven't already filled out the form on the page here, if you want to receive these podcasts, if you want to receive information regarding our upcoming products and programs, just fill in your email there and we'll keep you posted. Well, thanks for taking the time to share this podcast with me today. I am very excited about doing future podcasts and looking forward to bringing you valuable information that can help make your life better. Have a great day.